Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading the charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thoughts, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep. Stimulate those who are awakened. Feed those who are starving. And nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank WeTalk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank their creator for allowing me. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, same today as it was yesterday and will be tomorrow. Patrick La Joya was 26 years old when he was stopped by Grand Rapids, Michigan's police officer because his plates did not match his vehicle. He ended up on his belly with a knee in his back and a bullet in the back of his head. Here we go again. How long have we been singing this sad song? How long have we been marching? How long have we been talking? First, I'd like to thank all the professional, law-abiding, respectful, not shaking in their boots law enforcement officers for not creating their own jeopardy, escalating police, civilian conflict, and ultimately not murdering folks who aren't trying to murder you. Thank you. Whoever, wherever you are, being a law enforcement officer is a difficult, stressful, and dangerous job. It's no excuse for murdering anyone. Being stopped by an armed police officer is difficult, stressful, and dangerous, especially if the officer is predisposed to violence, hate, and or fears the community or group of people he provides services for. That being said, please, all individuals who are racist, idiots, cowards, aggressive, murderers, mean, spiteful, fearful of the community they serve, off the police force. Doing your job is not the same as being on the job if you are escalating conflict, creating your own jeopardy, and murdering someone, especially an unarmed, non-lethal someone. At some point, you are simply murdering someone on the job. Oddly enough, law enforcement and the judicial system appear to have difficulty identifying this phenomenon. One way to deter law enforcement criminal behavior is to arrest them when they break the law, incarcerate them, and prosecute them to the full extent of the law and for violating the trust of the community. By the way, they give some offending officers paid leave. There appears to be no chance that that will become the standard. Only civilians get that treatment, the full extent of the law treatment. Okay, maybe some police officer, law enforcement officer got that. That seems not to be the standard. To quote Benjamin Crump, you know who that is, right? The attorney, right? He said, what you see in the video is unnecessary, unjustifiable, excessive use of fatal force. You see a police officer escalate a minor traffic stop into a deadly execution. Execution being because this man was shot with a knee in his back, on his stomach, in the back of his head. That's what we see in executions, right? He said, Ben goes on to say clearly about the video, it clearly shows that this was an unnecessary, excessive, and fatal use of force against an unarmed black man who was confused by the encounter and terrified for his life. It should be noted that Patrick never used violence against this officer, even though the officer used violence against him and several instances for what was a misdemeanor traffic stop. You can check this part of it out on YouTube. They don't really show the whole thing. So, excuse me. It would seem that placing your knee in anyone's back and shooting them in the back of his head at point blank range would at least grant the assailant some time behind bars while they, as they say, investigate and review the videos of the heinous daylight crime. My good friend warned me that if this goes to court, court is where they go to explain away the truth, regardless of the facts, so that this murderer is not convicted of this obvious crime and remains this side of a prison wall. Most likely, even if convicted, punishment will not fit the crime. For example, the Chicago officer Jason Van Dyke, who in 2014 shot 17-year-old Laquan McDonald on the ground 16 times, 15 times as he lay on the ground, right? And he did that about 30 seconds after arriving on the scene where other officers were present. He testified that Laquan did not stop after the team, armed with a small knife, advanced toward him. Van Dyke was arrested in 2015 after dash cam footage appeared to show him fatally shooting Laquan McDonald as he moved away from officers. Now, the whole year, what happened to the testimony of the police officers that were there? Why are you waiting on dash cam footage? Shouldn't the testimony of the police officers there match the... I'm going to keep going. Anyway, that contradicted the official accounts. So, it was Van Dyke that did the advancing. Van Dyke claimed he feared for his life. The other way of getting away with murder is not being sentenced for the murder you committed. You might be wondering where I'm talking about the Kwame McDonald case. It's because this new case, this brother being shot in the back of the head with a knee in his back, you know, already this guy is like he's receiving paid leave. Paid. After he put his knee in somebody's back, shot him in the back of the head. It seemed like just that in itself would warrant to say, no, you're not a police officer anymore, and you're under arrest. Because I'm sure nowhere in a police protocol is it said it's okay to put your knee in somebody's back and shoot them in the back of the head. Anyway, ABC7, just to give you an example of this is Chicago. Former police officer was convicted of second-degree murder and sentenced to 81 months for 6 years or 6 years and 9 months in prison for shooting of Laquan McDonald in 2014. But he will have served less than half of that when he is released on February the 3rd. He's out of prison. So he served less than, he served 3 years of his 6 years, 9 months sentence, right? He was convicted of second-degree murder and 16 counts of aggravated battery with a firearm. He was sentenced in 2019. This is on video. You can check the video out. You see this guy shooting this kid laying on the ground. He's the only one shooting. Right? Dulcie and Wineland legal team says the penalties for aggravated battery with a firearm, no matter the circumstances, a conviction of aggravated battery with a firearm, it's a Class X felony conviction, which is the most severe conviction that a person can face in the state of Illinois. If you're facing a Class X felony, for a charge of aggravated battery with a firearm, you can be facing decades in prison. The Class X felony conviction carries a minimum prison sentence of 12 years. That's what they said. So 12 years times 16, 32 years based on the minimum Class X felony conviction of these guys are talking about, right? That's not counting the second-degree murder conviction, which carries its own sentencing. Each time Van Dyke shot Laquan, it was an assault on his life. And his life ended that dreadful night at the hand of Van Dyke. It would seem that a conviction of second-degree murder and 16 counts of aggravated battery with a firearm would warrant much more time. Howard J. Wise and associates say second-degree murder is a Class 1 felony punishable by a sentence of 4 to 20 years in prison. There's also a maximum fine of $25,000 and a surcharge of $3,125. Upon release from prison, there is a mandatory 2-year parole period. Excuse me. Yet Jason Van Dyke is out under 3 years, 1 year short of a 3-year minimum sentence. 17 years short of the 20-year maximum sentence they talked about, and 3 years short of the 3 years and 9 months short of the 81 months or 6 years and 9 months sentence. 9 years short of the 12-year minimum the other attorneys talked about. 29 years short of 32 years for the conviction on 16 counts of aggravated battery with a firearm, a Class X offense. Is it me or is the math simply not adding up? Jason Van Dyke's sentencing does not reflect the heinous crimes he has been convicted of, right? He also avoids federal charges, according to USNews.com, Local10.com, and the Chicago Times. So, he committed the murder in 2014. I think he was arrested in 2015, convicted 2019, released in 2022. Shot this guy 16 times, 15 as he lay on the ground. He was not advancing that, right? So, penalties for aggravated battery with a firearm are also more severe with if you had used a machine gun, right? Because they want to stop people from using a machine gun and things like that. But in the commission of the battery, the guns used in the battery was equipped with a silencer. So that means you're just a straight killer. You're there contract killer thing. But anybody can get a silencer. So in such a case, a person convicted faces a minimum prison sentence of 20 years, which the guy is talking about had to be referring to, right? And a maximum of 60 years. In some cases, a conviction of aggravated battery with a firearm can lead to a life sentence imprisonment. Specifically, if a victim of a battery involving a firearm was shot and suffered great bodily harm, permanent disability, permanent disfigurement, or death. Right? A person convicted of the crime can face imprisonment for life. So as you can see, this Van Dyke character, he got out 3 years. Fact is, it is all on videotape, which they tried to prevent from being released. Because it happened in 14, he was arrested in 15 when the police dash cam revealed what actually happened. All right, pay attention to this, because as this other case moves forward, and it's not even in the same state, That says something too. That speaks volumes as to how prevalent it is and spread this, widespread this phenomenon is. Right. So anyway, second degree murder is a stretch because he shot Laquan 16 times, 15 while on the ground within 30 seconds of arriving on the scene in his police van, where other officers had been present, right? I'd say he intended to kill this mentally challenged teen who had a small knife in his hand. Wouldn't you say that? Well, I mean, I'm trying to understand why, well, it's not rocket science, actually. I don't think it's rocket science. My friend has a point. Facts. And sentencing guidelines appear to count more when the perpetrator is not in law enforcement. Seems like, you know, but we're waiting for these guys to, I mean, if you look at the, I mean, if look at the video and what they're saying, what actually took place. There's no reason why this officer, this Michigan officer, Grand Rapids, I think that's where Floyd Mayweather is from. There's no reason why he should be on the street. Cause you, would you trust a guy like that that can do that? On, you know, out. It doesn't make sense. He's anyway. My friend has a point. Fact is, the sentencing guidelines appear to count more when the perpetrator is not in law enforcement. And he has a point there. I'm saying that twice because. Seem like it's two different laws, two different groups of people, right? Will they pull the, it's not what it looks like on video routine or the I fear for my life routine or both? What's going to happen here? Because it's coming. To think that Peter Laoya, right, that's Patrick's father, moved his six kids from the Congo in 2014 to flee violence. 2014 just happened to be the same year that Laquan was murdered in Chicago by the hero, Jason Van Dyke. They moved from the Congo. Now, I don't know if you know about the Congo, but Congo makes, well, let's just say, you have a very high chance of being murdered in the Congo. The Guardian says the United States has experienced its largest ever recorded annual increase in murders, according to new statistics from the FBI, with the national murder rate rising nearly 30% in 2020, the biggest jump in six decades. The question is, right, that we want to ask, question is, will this heinous homicide be counted among the many cold-blooded murders in the good old U.S. of A? Will it? Because it seems like a no-brainer to me. Well, the fact that this guy got paid leave makes it sound like somebody thinks this might be a good idea or, you know, something, hey, within the boundaries of police work. From the Associated Press, a Michigan cop, black man's back, fatally shot him. Man, that sounds like some slave 1920s. 60s, 70s kind of stuff. Anyway, they said he was face down on the ground. He was fatally shot in the back of the head by the Michigan police officer. The violent climax of a traffic stop. Somebody explain to me how that occurs. A brief foot chase, right? Because this guy got out of his car. Right. and a struggle over a stun gun, according to the videos. That's very, very important to remember, to study the struggle over the stun gun. Because you got to wonder, if you're trying to hit somebody with a stun gun, how can the person you're trying to stun with the gun reach the stun gun? Is this a Keystone Cop? You know what I'm saying? Or what? You know, what's going on here? Anyway. The April 4th incident, right? That's when it happened. Patrick Loyola, L26 was killed, right? Outside a house in Grand Rapids, Michigan, right? A white officer repeatedly ordered him to stop and let go of his taser. At one point demanded, drop the taser. Okay? Pay close attention. Stop resisting. Remember, it was another thing that they probably they say. You hear them say, stop resisting. Stop resisting. Then somebody is a dick. Anyway, citing a need for transparency, the city's new police chief, Eric Windstorm, released four videos, including critical footage of the shooting recorded by a passenger in Loyola's car on that rainy morning, right? Windstorm, a former high-ranked Chicago police commander, became Grand Rapids chief in March. The city of about 200,000 people is about 150 miles northwest of Detroit. Video shows Patrick running from the officer who stopped him for driving with a license plate that didn't belong to the vehicle. They struggled in front of several homes while Patrick's passenger got out and watched. Winstrom said the fight over the taser lasted about 90 seconds. In the final moments, the officer was on top of Patrick Loyola, kneeling on his back at times to subdue him. 90 seconds, that's like a minute and a half. From my view of the video, the taser was deployed twice. Taser did not make contact, Winstrom told reporters. And Mr. Patrick Loyola was shot in the head. He said, however, that's the only information that I had. He said, from my view of the video. So I don't know how many videos he was privy to look at. But just from what he just said, somebody shot in the back of the head. He didn't even find that to be peculiar. He didn't even express that to be a peculiar thing that happened. Or that the deceased was able to grab the stun gun. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to stun you with a stun gun. Should I really have it where you can touch it? Do I really need to use a stun gun on a traffic stop? Anyway, notice Winstrom, Grand Rapids police chief, didn't say Patrick was shot in the back of the head. Well, he did say that. He said he was shot in the back of the head, right? Excuse me. He said he was shot in the back of the head, but he didn't say anything like that's highly unusual for a man to be shot in the back of the head. Police officer has his knee in his back. You know, he's on his stomach, on the ground, shot in the back of the head. He didn't say anything. He didn't comment on that, as I previously said. So, shot in the back of the head, no knife, no gun, no weapon, just that 1960-up slavery attitude, finding it odd that a slave, I mean, I'm black man would resist being tased. Saw the video. And the guy was just right within hand's reach of him trying to tase him, which to me is stupid. I don't care who you are, police officer, a woman about to be somebody approaching you. If you wait till they get up within hands, arm's length of you, you made a big mistake. You should have backed off if you wanted to tase this guy. Anyway, because he's not going to let you tase. Nobody in their right mind is going to allow you to, here, just take my rib cage right here, hit me right there, or bend over and let you hit him, tase him in the butt. It's unrealistic to even expect that from somebody. That's why you're using the taser. Anyway, but this is just a traffic, minor traffic stop. So I don't even know why all of this is, how it's getting to this. Anyway, state police are investigating the shooting. Kent County chief medical examiner said he completed the autopsy, but toxicology tests haven't been finished. Okay, so what's that about? Did they do toxicology on the police officer? Because I know they supposed to get tested when they do stuff like that. Anyway, here we go again. Attempted to put the victim on trial. What does toxicology have to do with this scenario? You look at the video. Doesn't matter if he's intoxicated or not. He's on his stomach. You got your knee in his back. And he gets a bullet, takes a bullet to the head, back of the head. A man has been shot in the back of the head at point-blank range after a misdemeanor traffic stop because his plates did not match his car. Because he failed to follow a police order. Because he ran. Because he resisted being tased. And because he fell to defend himself. Because last time I looked, nothing that occurred that day merits a death sentence, or even to be tased. You have witnesses in the car, vehicle, and he's off running. Anyway, state police have been investigating the murder since 4/4/22, right? And this article that I was reading, that I was referring to, this article here that I'm reading from, was published on 4/13/22. That is 9 days of watching videos of an unarmed man getting shot in the back of the head from about 3 to 4 angles and still no arrest. No arrest. And the officer gets paid. Somebody help me out with that. Because I definitely don't get it. There's no way you can help me understand that and make me understand that. Shot in the back, you got your knee in his back. You shoot him in the back of the head. He's grabbing for you. The only thing I can think of, they're going to play this taser thing. I say watch the video, and maybe one day we'll see the whole videotape of this situation. It didn't have to happen. So, no arrest, and the officer gets paid. But he put his knee in somebody's back, shoot him in the back of the head. That sounds like somebody thinks that could be okay. You know, it's not an automatic. Oh, hold up. Wait a minute. Did he have a gun? Did he have one? He took your taser. Why was your taser out? I tried to tase him. Why did you try to tase him? Anyway, this is not even manslaughter because Patrick Ayoya did not attempt to strike the officer. He's not even, watch the videotape. He's not even, like, fighting this guy. He's resisting. The word only word you can use to describe what he's doing. This The officer places the community at risk as the manner in which the officer murdered Patrick Leoya proves. Someone feels this monster should still be walking the street. Someone feels this monster should remain in law enforcement. Because he's not incarcerated. That had been Joe Citizen. You'd have been locked up on the scene if you survived that scene, the arrival. You would have been incarcerated somewhere waiting to find out what your fate was going to be. Not revealing the officer's name is indicative of the DA and the government's desire to protect the murderer when, in reality, it was Leoya and the community that needs protection from this cold-blooded shooting in the back of the head murderer. Come on now. It's not rocket science. Apparently somebody thinks this guy needs protection, keeping his name, you know, out of the public. Nobody knows who he is. That's a dangerous man walking the street. No, he's not doing his job, unless his job is to escalate confrontations and execute black men. Now, if that's his job, if his job is to escalate confrontations and execute black men, he did his job. Hell, he might have been doing his job. That is why they say justice is blind, I guess. This fool was getting paid for shooting someone in the back of the head. I don't get it. Somebody help me out with that. The back of the head? Anyway, the story went on to say the traffic stop was tense from the start. The video shows Leoya, a native of the Democratic Republic of Congo, getting out of the car before the officer approached. He ordered Leoya to get back in the vehicle, but the man declined. How dare he do that, right? Anyway, sounds like if this officer did fear for his life the minute he saw Patrick Leoya fearing for his life, fleeing the scene of a traffic stop from a car with plates that don't match the vehicle, is that a capital offense? No. Resisting being shot by a taser, is that a capital offense? No. Refusing to obey the order of a police officer, is that punishable by death? No. Is running away from a traffic stop or evading a police officer punishable by death? No. So, why is this man dead, shot in the back of the head dead, with a knee in his back? Not one blow thrown, just a guy making a poor decision to resist and run. So why does anyone in high or low places think that debatable requires an investigation longer than it takes to review the tapes to come to the conclusion that it's a violation of police policy, the law, murder, the victim's human rights, the right to life, constitutional rights, to be murdered for evading a police officer, resisting being tased, resisting having his head smashed into the dirt. Well, when all else fails, there is always the old I fear for my life routine. As I previously said, Jason Van Dyke got away with saying that. And, of course, he had a ton of support because the tapes, the dash cam, took a year for that to come out in his case, right? So that's probably one of the reasons why they're showing these videos, right? It seems to almost be effective when it comes to dealing with these black bucks who refuse to submit to their verbal commands while evading police, right? Think about our fear for my life routine, right? See, it always works. If all else fears, say you fear for your life, right? Fear is never a valid reason to take someone's life. Fear. I fear it for my life. You just can't say you fear it for your life and that's why you killed somebody. But you fear it for your life because he had a gun. Because he's coming at me with a knife. Because he had choked me and I pulled my gun out. Get him off me. He's choking me. You know, I had to, you know, something. Not I fear it for my life and no, it's nothing near that's life threatening, but I was fearful. And that's what I'm talking about when I say get the cowards off the police force, because it's not a job for a coward. It's not a social service job, even though you can apply some of the principles of some of the concepts of that social service servants do when you in police work. Right, but gets a little physical sometimes, gets a little dangerous sometimes, and that's not always the perps initiating the lethality of the confrontation. As an instance, from what I've seen, I didn't see this guy trying to fight. He was trying to resist. You know, I only seen the part. I haven't seen the three videos, so only saw a partial, you know, video, right? So we, you know, if fearing for your life, somewhere somebody's listening, they think, they say, hey, well, he feared for his life. He told that guy, you know, he gave him commands, he ran, you know, he tried to, he grabbed the taser, he was trying to tase him with, and he's doing all this stuff, right? And the officer got scared. So if he was afraid in that situation, he should have never approached that man. Because from the time he got out of his car to approach that man, he knew that that situation could end up like that or worse. Oh, no, there is no worse, is it? Because he shot him in the back of the head. Matter of fact, that's worst case scenario because we have a man that's deceased, murdered, and we have another man whose situation doesn't look good. Now he's his life is about to go in another direction because he was foolish enough to shoot a man in the back of the head while you have him pinned down on the ground. How many people you think are going to feel comfortable, safe, being pinned on the ground by a police officer, especially after giving some resistance or resisting? How do you think that's going to impact on people who see these things happening? So anyway, if this is to be imagine how many police officers would be killed if fear was a valid reason or excuse for using lethal force. Let's put their shoe on the other foot. Because if you think, oh, the man feared for his life, he had a right to take that man's life. Imagine if that shoe was on the other foot and people who feared for their lives during these police stops took it upon themselves to use lethal force on police officers. Does that make sense? So your fear alone is not enough for you to take a man's life. This is determined to be life-threatening or a lethal threat. It's open season on black men. If they resist, kill them. It helps to disable your police cam. Fortunately, there were other videos covering the incident. Shooting someone in the back of the head, pinning them down with your knee in their back makes one, anyone, a poster boy or girl for the death penalty. You got to be kidding. That's execution. Was it necessary to tase this man, evading police on a traffic stop? Yes, he grabbed or attempted to grab the taser as the police officer attempted to tase him at a distance close enough he could touch the taser. Not one punch thrown from the victim. Question is, why was the officer that close to the man that he could grab the taser? That constitutes creating your own jeopardy and putting the civilian in jeopardy also. There was no attempt to de-escalate the confrontation. It was just another cruel and cowardly act that ended another black man's life. So he didn't listen to this guy, so he died. So that doesn't make sense to me. That's not a death sentence, even though we see that repeatedly happening. Sandra Bland was arrested, beaten, assaulted by a cop. She didn't listen to the cop telling her to put her cigarette out. She said, I don't have to put my cigarette out. And this guy went on and ran, grabbing her out the car and stuff like that, throwing up on the ground. From CBS News, from a practical perspective, police officers need to be within a relative mid-range as far as 15 to 25 feet in order to use a taser, right? From T. Boltec, a taser device will only work if the needles or prongs come out in contact and stick to the attacker. Civilian taser weapons can work up to 15 feet. However, safety experts say that the user should fire at an ideal distance of 7 feet. This distance gives a good spread between the needles when they actually hit the target. Also, the farther away the target is, the more difficult it will be for the user to hit it, right? So you can't be too far away, and it sounds like you shouldn't be too close, right? From Police One, this review established some basic principles regarding the use of the taser. Deployment of the taser is considered by the federal courts to be A, serious use of force, A, serious use of force, A, serious use of force that is designed to inflict a painful and frightening blow. Somebody help me out. Because I'm not the sharpest knife in the kitchen. But was there a need for a serious use of force for this misdemeanor traffic stop? This guy running away, resisting? Is that a need? Does that define a need to use your taser? From USA Today. Tasers are meant to save lives, yet hundreds die after use by police. So the people who might be saying, oh, he shouldn't have grabbed the taser. The April 11th shooting death of Dante Wright highlights problems with the use of tasers that have contributed to at least 500 deaths in 2010. Right? Since 2010, there have been at least 513 cases in which subjects died after police used tasers on them. This is one reason why you don't grab that taser for no misdemeanor traffic stop. According to fatalencounters.org, taser death by race from 2010 to 2020, white tased 189. Black Tays, 174. Latino Tays, 72. Of course, you know we 13% of the population. And as many of us getting tased as it is an incident, that's a disproportionate amount. So you people might not understand what those numbers represent. In instances where race was determined, African Americans accounted for 39% of the taser-related deaths since 2010, even though they comprise of 13% of the population, right? So that's a disproportionate amount of people who are tased. So what's that saying? Does that mean that that's an indication that police departments have a tendency to tase black people, African Americans? Or does that mean that those African Americans or black folks are always involved in some criminal activity or always aggressive, angry, mean little that we got to tase them? What does it mean? It means that they disproportionately being tased. All right, so maybe some of my predisposition toward African Americans. That's what it indicates. Anyway, in 2011, the Department of Justice report cited survey-based studies. It showed that the risk of deaths from devices at less than 0.25% or 1 in 400. So 1 in 400, you know, will die, right? That's the risk of death, risk death, 1 in 400. As early as 2005, the police Executive Research Forum, a national nonprofit policy organization, issued 52 guidelines calling for tighter restrictions on the use of taser-like devices, including barring use on passive or fleeing subjects. They should have paid attention to these people. Barring use by multiple officers on a single person and requiring mandatory safety training. So looks like this officer, this Michigan officer, is ill prepared for any scenario for scenarios which his taser may be deployed. Anyway, that is the reason why Patrick Leoya, that's a reason for him to fear for his life. Right? These tasers, right? And without that information, nobody wants to be tased. So somebody, you close to me trying to tase me, I'm going to grab the taser too. I'm going to move it, and I'm going to point it at you. So, yeah, I'm not going to let you tase me. Are you crazy? You're creating your own jeopardy when you get that close to somebody with that type of weapon. You're going to pull your gun out with somebody that you, and you're within arm's length of that person and not under control. You got to be the dumbest police officer on the planet to give up that distance where you don't have the threat of somebody touching your weapon, knocking your hand to the side or knocking you in the head. So he might have been afraid, but he created it. Well, maybe his training created, because he's done sentence. This guy don't sound to be well trained at all. Either he's well trained and ignored his training, or he's just a guy that's going to do what he want to do. You know, he got upset, so this guy didn't stop for this misdemeanor traffic stop, and I'm going to get this. You know what? Right? This sounds like nobody should be dead. Not for this. This is stupid, foolish, unprofessional. Anyway, there was a reason for Leoya to fear for his life, right? What is the police officer's excuse for being fearful? There were no weapons present except the weapons the police officer had and used. The Yoda did not attempt to tase the officer. But That remains to be seen after the investigation. Because if I'm investigating this, I'm going to find a way to say that this Patrick, the yo-yo character, was reaching for the taser to tase the officer. And in tasing the officer, he could tase the officer, take his gun, and kill the officer. That's going to be my spin. Even though he was on his stomach, he was still dangerous because he was trying to reach the taser to tase the officer, incapacitate the officer, and kill him. If this police officer is so innocent, why is his name not being released? Poor history being kept from the community? Is he in the habit of being excessively aggressive? The community needs to know about any murderer who would shoot a man in the back of the head while having his knee in his back. This guy's walking the street and feels it was okay to shoot Patrick. Now, yo-yo, in the back of the head. Are there others who feel that same way in law enforcement? Apparently. Because he wasn't arrested. And he's on paid leave. That is scary. That the knee in the back, shot in the back of the head, it's not like, oh no. We can't have you out in public. We don't know what you're doing. I wasn't there. You gotta sit while we figure out what's going on here. But they paying this guy. Anyway, if so, it explains why the dreadful scenario continues to repeat itself. Right? Hence, you know, we have this same today as it was yesterday and will be tomorrow situation. Because it seems like somebody's trying to figure out how do we get this officer, you know, off before he gets on. Convicted of nothing. He's not charged with anything. I mean, nothing. Shot a man in the back of the head. Are you kidding me? Is it that? Are they talking about Black Lives Matters? Is it that man's life don't matter that much to nobody? That somebody could put a knee in his back, shoot him in the back of the head over a misdemeanor traffic stop, and no one is even incarcerated. And there are people listening, I don't know who's listening, but man, you, I don't know who you are, but people have been locked up for less than that. Many have been incarcerated for things they have not done. This guy actually did something, and because he wears a badge, he's not. I'm not really confused, to tell you the truth. But you know, it's the same thing. Like we keep going through this thing over and over. It's the same, like Groundhog Day. These guys keep doing the same thing, and they ain't gonna continue to do it. The only lethal threat was the Michigan police officer who was getting paid for shooting a man on his belly in the back of the head. That sounds more like a contract hit. And the city's paying him. Can someone explain why this murdering police officer is not incarcerated after shooting this subdued, unarmed man in the back of the head? That's what we're waiting on. The story. Somebody's going to try to spin this. You can tell when they're trying to spin something because people get paid leave. That means I'm looking for a way to spin this so that this guy doesn't go to jail for this, so he's not punished for this. Anyway, the article went on to say the officer spoke English. the brother from the Congo, right? The man and his driver's license. The foot chase began soon after. So I don't know what went on. Winstrom, right, the chief of police, right, didn't identify the officer. A seven-year veteran. This is a seven-year veteran, which makes you, that's another red flag, right? Because this is a rookie mistake right here. Number one, you're trying to turn a traffic stop into some, I'm going to tase you, and you touch this taser, I'm going to view that as you, as a life-threatening situation for me. And I get you down with my knee in your back. You can still resist. I'm going to shoot you in the back of the head. That's a rookie mistake, or that's a veteran, right, killer mistake if he gets convicted. That's because that's either a rookie mistake or this guy is so confident in the system that he could get away with doing that he did it. And that's scary. Imagine shooting someone in the back of the head at point blank range while sitting on top of them, knee in their back, lying on their belly and getting paid while an investigation ensues. I did say the back of the head at point blank range while kneeling, right, on them in the back. With your knee, that's the weight of your body. What on earth can they be investigating or inventing? Is investigating another term for inventing? Because what are they looking at? What are they looking for? You can't justify shooting a man in the back of the head while you knee him in his back. What is all this investigation? What did I say? It was 9 days? Are you kidding? Just shot in the back of the head. If I'm chief of police, you going to jail because you can't explain that. Where's his weapon? Where's his gun? Where's his knife? Not even that. The only weapon there is yours. And it's a misdemeanor traffic stop. Police aren't the only people who fear for their lives. So, if killing a man because you fear for your life was a valid reason, there would be a lot of dead police officers. Yet, Patrick Leoya feared for his life and was murdered by a man armed with a lethal weapon who said he feared for his life. A lethal weapon, a gun, presents a reason to fear for your life. And so would a working taser, depending on your state of health. Sounds like they need to come up with something other than a taser. Anyway, story went on to say, the chief of police saying, me being from Chicago for the last 20 years, I've handled many police shootings myself. So I do have a lot of experience in this. Really? The chief said, I was hoping to never have utilized that experience here. Well, guess what, chief? You're still not utilizing your experience because the man is shot in the back of the head by a guy who had a knee in his back, and you are paying him to sit at home and protecting his name from being revealed to the public, who needs to know who is this man that has no regard for human life, right? No regard that he'll put his knee in the back of a man and blow his brains out. Videos collected from, you know, Patrick's passenger, the officer's body-worn camera, the officer's patrol call, and a doorbell camera. Prosecutor Chris Becker, who will decide whether any charges were warranted, objected to the release of the video. See? But said Winstrom could act on his own. So that's no chance. You got to look at these people like they say they're supposed to be. Who they say they are. They're supposed to be public servants. Your tax dollars pay their bills. They're supposed to be people who work for you. But as you can see, this prosecutor is working for law enforcement. He's not working for Joe Public, Joe Taxpayer. He's working for law enforcement. You know, Berger said the public shouldn't expect a quick decision. Duh. It's my whole point. You don't have a quick decision and you got a video without the video. He shot the man with his knee in his back, in the back of the head. You need a video of that? There's no weapon. The man has no lethal weapon. He admitted to doing that? And he's not incarcerated? While the videos released are an important piece of evidence, they are not all of the evidence, he said. See that? City manager Mark Washington warned that the video should lead to expressions of shock, would lead to expressions of shock, of anger and pain. Some downtown businesses boarded up their storefront and concrete barricades surrounded police headquarters. That tells me you knew somebody did something wrong and it's not that brother that's dead. You don't do that. If you had a shootout with a guy coming out of the bank and you killed him, you don't have to do that. The public is an angry public when you do something that's heinous like this. You don't have to be fearful of people tearing up your store, rioting and stuff like that, if you're doing your job. Because you're going to try to tell those people in Grand Rapids that it's okay for a police officer to put his knee in your back and shoot you in the back of the head. How are you going to make arrests? Because the only thing you can do, I can't even say that. What you should do is do the right thing. But what you can do, apparently, as we've seen with the case with Jason Van Dyke, you can do whatever you want to do. You can charge somebody with murder and 16 counts of aggravated assault, right? And he could be out in 3 years on good behavior. Does this make sense to anybody? Out on good behavior. Shot a man. Doesn't matter if it's another city. Trust me. This stuff is repeated all over the place. So anyway, the prosecutor, Chris Becker, does not wish to be transparent and may be blind to the cold-blooded point-blank murder of this human being after a misdemeanor traffic stop. This ain't no shootout with the cops. This ain't no guy trying to beat the hell out of the cops. Sounds more like the videos show an unarmed black man being brutally murdered after a traffic stop, and the perpetrator is free on paid leave. Oddly enough, the officer's body cam, as I read somewhere, it said was disabled just before he shoots the man point blank in the back of the head. I don't know how true that is either. Is anybody in the police department outraged about this homicide? Is there anyone outraged about the officer perpetrator being paid while these geniuses try to conjure up an excuse for this police officer to have taken Patrick DeYoya's life? That's why the community should be outraged. That's why you need to brick up your police station and board up your store windows, because you're telling these people your life ain't worth a damn. And then you're going to villainize them. You're going to make them the villains because they want to riot and tear shit up, tear the police department up. Now they're the bad guys. When you had a perfect opportunity to gain the trust of the public, of the people, black people to move out of Grand Rapids. I don't know. But, you know, all the lynchers should tell you, you can kill as many people as you want. That's not going to make them everybody move. Some people did move because of the lynching in the South. Some people did get up and go. Some people fought back. But remember the Black Panther Party. Shall we take bets on if the prosecutor, Chris Becker, will see fit to charge this murderer with murder? Shall we take bets on that? Something is wrong with this picture. And you damn right. They're going to need bulletproof glass, cinder block, and everything. Not because they're afraid. Because you know you've done something wrong. That's why you, when you do things, sometimes in the hood, you get strapped because you know you've done something wrong. And somebody's coming after that behind. You get something, a knife or something, you know, you get a little hyper-vigilant because you know someone is coming after that butt because you did something wrong. These guys know they did something wrong, and they feel someone should come after they behind. That's why they boarding up stuff at the police station. Come on now. It's like they know what they did. They don't really care. Their job from here on out is to protect the police officers by any means necessary. And they're saying it in so many ways, so many times, so many years, so many decades, so many centuries. They've been saying the same, telling the same story. You know what I'm saying? When it comes down to them and us, that's us. And hell, that probably goes to some white folks too. Don't think you free from this here when it comes to police and you, but you got a better chance than we do, black Americans, African Americans, I don't know what other names we might be referring to ourselves at this minute, but you know who I'm talking about when I say black Americans and African Americans, right? This brother right here is from Africa. He's an African in America, literally. Like from Africa, not born here, not born of slave parents in the United States, or probably born of slave ancestors in the United States, even though some of his ancestors may have gotten here, I don't know. But I'm not getting into that whole thing about the transatlantic slave trade. That's off subject. But the brother had two young daughters and five siblings. He arrived in the United States as a refugee with his family fleeing violence. Congo off the chain. Off the chain. I think the level of violence that's happening over there, when I heard, it's like you need a AR-15 and go get some bread, something like that, and a plate, breastplate. You need a couple clips, go get some bread. You get that to your 13-year-old. See, when you get back, that's it. And your daughters, they just got to be armed and have an armed accompaniment to walk them somewhere, because I hear a lot of rape going on in the Congo. So anyway, the prominent civil rights attorney, Ben Crump, speaking on behalf of Patrick, the Yoya's family, he called for the officer in the shoe to be fired and prosecuted. Now, I'm sure Ben means arrested and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. I'm thinking he just put that in a nice way right there, you know, but I'm sure he means that. If he doesn't, I do. Because that's exactly what should happen to this guy. Shoot somebody in the back of the head while you got your knee in his back. Are we really going for this? We just saw George Floyd, right? Broad daylight. Strangled to death by an officer. Strangling him out with his knee on his neck, acting like he's waiting for two donuts and a hot coffee. Hands in his pocket. dum dee dee dum 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 dum. Just very cavalier about the life that he's taken. And it sounds like this situation here, we have a cavalier approach. Even though these guys are preparing for battle, it blocks up around the police station because you know you did something wrong. You don't do that unless you know that is wrong. Anyway, the video clearly shows that this was an unnecessary excessive use of force against an unarmed black man who was confused by the encounter and terrified for his life. That's what Crump said. And I've said this already. It should be noted that Patrick never used violence against this officer, even though the officer used violence against him in several instances for what was a misdemeanor. A misdemeanor traffic stop. Come on. Do we got to die over some misdemeanor stuff? Man, more than 100 people marched in Grand Rapids City before a city commissioner meeting chanting Black Lives Matter and no justice, no peace. Well, Black lives do matter, number one. No justice, no peace. That's all true. Black lives matter, but don't matter to everybody. And no justice, no peace continues. On Wednesday, several hundred protesters gathered outside the Grand Rapids Police following department following the release of videos. They saw the videos, right? With some cursing and shouting from behind barricades. The group demanded that the officials make public the name of the officer in the shooting. They don't think they should release the name of this madman. They quit to release the name of a civilian who would have done the same thing, put his knee in somebody's back and blown his brains out. His name would have been, our face would have been blasted on the news, newspapers, everywhere. Right? YouTube, he'd have been everywhere. But if we got a law enforcement officer that does this, how come we don't know who this guy is? He is a threat, a high risk to the community. He provides, I can't even say he provides services. That's the way he handles a misdemeanor traffic stop. He's a 7-year vet. That's what he handles after 7 years, guy running. Excited, you don't have a weapon. If you're afraid, don't get out of your car. Wait for backup. If you're that kind of chump, you know, why are you trying to tase somebody? Why don't you know when you should use your taser? Why don't you have 7 years on the force? You should have a good idea of when it's appropriate to use a taser. And the distance that's most appropriate that creates the least amount of risk for you and the person you're trying to tase, especially since you're going to try to use, if he reaches out to your taser, as a threat to your life. Because that's a natural reaction. You geniuses. Some businesses cut short their hours. Oh, snap, they said, right? Closing early. That was wrong. Everybody, seems like everybody knows that was the wrong thing to do. Because CC was out to be action. Businesses cut their hours short, right? Some boarded up windows. But the demonstration remained nonviolent, and the protesters demanded justice, right? For him, for Patrick, and other Black Lives lost in shootings involving police and other Black lives lost in shootings involving police. No justice, no peace. Same today as it was yesterday and will be tomorrow. Right? This is today. Yesterday is going to come. Right? And then the day after that in the future, tomorrow. Right? It's all the same. We there. Never changes. not going to change. There could be no justice for a dead man, number one. Justice serves the living and the guilty. It preserves the life of the living and guarantees severe consequences for the guilty, thus reducing the risk of being shot in the back of the head after a traffic stop, legal license plate or not. The man did not present a lethal threat to the police. So you're talking about justice. Winston last week said he met with Leyoya's father, Peter Leyoya, and they both cried. Really? Why didn't you put this man in jail? Why didn't you put the man that killed his son in jail? That's what I want to know. Grand Rapids police have been occasionally criticized over the use of force, particularly against black people who make up 18% of the population. So there we have history, right? And probably multi, because they've been criticized and nothing has been done, no action, then you have no deterrent, right? That's called history of use of force against black people. In November, the Michigan Supreme Court heard arguments in a lawsuit over the practice of photographing and fingerprinting people who were never charged with a crime. Grand Rapids said the policy changed in 2015. So these guys are used to doing what they want to do, breaking the law and not having any consequences. Down the street has been designated Breonna Taylor's Way, named for the black woman and Grand Rapids native who was killed by police in Louisville, Kentucky during a botched drug raid in 2020. So that's what we're dealing with. There's more different versions of the story on there, but I don't have time to go over different versions. So anyway, how can not releasing the video impact on law enforcement doing their job? You know, because this Chris Becker didn't want to release the video until the investigation was complete to maintain the integrity of this investigation. Listen to the BS they sent out, the kind of thing. They just say, he can say whatever he want to say. That's what that is. He's saying, I'm the DA. I can say whatever the hell I want to say. I'm just going to maintain the integrity of this investigation. That's BS. Man shot in the back of the head. What kind of, you need to try to maintain the integrity of the law of law enforcement. That's the problem. Unless it, you know, how can not releasing the video impact on law enforcement doing their job? Unless their job is to see that this murderer stays this side of a prison wall. Something is wrong with this picture. This situation has been going on forever for us. And it seems like it's never going to stop. It's the same today as it was yesterday and will be tomorrow. It's almost as if we can expect no change. Riot all you want. Nothing. So with that being said, I'm running out of time, and I'm tired of this story right here. It seems like we're on a hamster wheel with this here of killing of black men, unarmed black men, and this is especially brutal and heinous because you got the knee in the back. Number one, it's a misdemeanor car stop. The man is running away from the police, trying to get away. The police is not trying to de-escalate the situation, right? Actually, the police officer is the reason why the conflict is escalating. He's escalating the situation, and he's using deadly force. He's the only one that has deadly force. He has a stun gun or a taser, and he has a revolver. So he's the only one bringing deadly force. If he was afraid, should have stayed in his car, or better than that, should have stayed home. Got himself a job at Walmart, somewhere like that, or, you know, anywhere where he don't have to interact with people who he might be fearful of. Till next week, y'all, I want to thank, you know, all listeners, people who called in to listen, and We Talk Productions, Mr. Kenneth Jones, Blog Talk Radio, and your creator. Till next week, y'all. Each one reach one. Each one teach one. Remember, you got to be very careful when you have these encounters with law enforcement. Because, first of all, before they are law enforcement, they are people. So whatever they were before they became law enforcement, they still are. They're just it in blue. Till next week, y'all.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.